The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
The Rex era ends at MetLife. The Knicks, they suck, but we already know. The Giants win again, but who cares? It's irrelevant. The Mets, too low. We'll get into that a little bit. The Yankees, they trade Martin Prado. What's going on with that decision? And we'll also have a special guest. His first name's Kenny, but first, Brian behind the glass. Let's get funky.
I love the way he goes between his legs. Look at that. Little showbiz, get the mustard out.
Kenny Anderson. Anderson, excellent rebounder for a little guard. Nice look.
Mackey!
What a great look. Anderson to Mackey. And they love it at the Philadelphia. They say he's awesome.
Kenny's putting on a show now.
It's the Kenny Anderson hour. It's KA time, baby.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. I mean, that's just like on the streets of New York City.
Anderson,
the great ones always respond. Anderson says, hey, it's my time. It's Anderson time.
Up top, Kenny Anderson. Anderson for the win. Got it. And the buzzer. He beat the Cavaliers in the shot 2 years ago.
If you heard that and weren't bobbing your head, I'm concerned about you. This is Sports Talk 1240. That was Uptown Funk, the number one song of 2014. You could disagree with me, but you're wrong. At Sports Talk 1240, at Sports Radio NY. We got Jake Brown here doing my usual spot, but also my guest co-host today is former Jets wide receiver Rob Carpenter at Rob Carpenter 81. We got Clayton Collier at Clayton underscore Collier in studio, handling the social media files at Sports Talk 1240, of course. And we'll have Chibs coming on, former neck guard Kenny Anderson at 9:15, who you might have saw hit the news wire this week over this movie, The Interview, and Kim Jong-il. We'll get into that in a little bit. First of all, welcome on Rob Carpenter, the former Jet. Rob, the Amityville native?
Amityville.
And now in Brooklyn, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
He's doing good at Rob Carpenter 81. We got a lot to get into. And I know Rob, if you follow him on Twitter, he's a great follow, has some thoughts about John Idzik that he just told me that I may disagree with. We'll get into that. And then Luke Albert is controlling the Sports Radio NY Twitter over there. Let's start off with these New York Jets. You know what? They fought today. They fought hard for Rex, despite about half the building being empty at MetLife, despite people potentially getting arrested for bringing fire John Idzik towels, which in my mind is the dumbest thing on the face of the earth, because people should be waving those loud and proud. And again, we'll get to that in a second. But you know what, Rob? They fought today. They played pretty well. I mean, they came out with the right game plan against Tom Brady. They attacked the quarterback. They sacked Brady. They forced an interception, and they haven't done that since the Clinton presidency. So that was good to see. But again, 3-12. A lost season. You're losing your head coach, maybe the GM. What do you take from this Jets season? Is there any sort of positive that you take?
Biggest thing you got to take is the way the guys are actually still playing hard. And you saw that early in the game, the pressure they were putting on Brady, especially defense. Offensively, you know, it's gonna take time for this offense to come around, no matter who they put back there at QB, because it might be a little while before a general gets behind the offense that's going to make them move.
Yeah, and Rex obviously wasn't the general because he doesn't coach offense. He only coaches defense, and he leaves it to guys like Marty Mornaway to coach the offense, and that hasn't worked. We'll start with this because, you know what, I just read this on my phone. I got a notification, and I almost chucked my iPhone 4, which I need to get rid of anyway. I got to upgrade because this thing's getting old, and it's small as a rock. But Calvin Pryor, the Jets' first-round pick, listen to this quote, everyone. Again, Sports Talk 1240 AM, 1240 WGBB. Jets are the best 3-12 team in history. And then his running mate, the other safety, DeJuan Landry, another guy who's non-existent this season, said, we could have easily had 10-11 wins. Rob, do you know what kind of crack they're smoking? What's going on? Because that is literally just stupid. You can't be that dumb.
That's a little bit of fantasy right there.
I mean,
you know, prior saying that as a rookie, that's kind of being a giddy guy, you know, giddy young rookie.
The only thing Pryor is hitting hard is the blunt, saying something like that. People are talking about him being a hard hitter. He ain't hitting anything hard. He had a bad rookie year. The Jets used a first-round pick, and we were talking about before guys who erupted in fantasy. Those guys were Odell Beckham Jr. and Mike Evans. Two guys that, you know what, they may not fell to the Jets, but the Jets could have easily traded up to get those guys and have a receiver. I mean, you know, they get Percy Harvin. I like that deal. I think Percy should be back. Would you agree with that, or do you not pay Percy?
Oh, definitely.
Pay him, right?
You pay him and you bring him back. He's a guy, if he can stay healthy, which is always the question mark, he's a big playmaker.
Yeah, you can't, especially on the special teams as well, they could use a guy like Percy Harvin. But you can't be this dumb. I mean, you know what? The Jets could have maybe had 6-7 wins. There were games early. The Bears game where Geno threw it away early. The Lions game where Geno played terrible. The Packer game where the Jets had that huge lead and they blew it. That end of the first half touchdown by Aaron Rodgers that carried the momentum in the second half. They could have won that game. But to say they're the best 3-12 team in history with a quarterback who's so inept that he really shouldn't even be back as a backup next season – and then to say we could have had 10 or 11 wins, which would mean they'd be a playoff team, is just so, what's the word, asinine? Is that the right word?
That's a pretty good one.
SAT word. See, my mom listening would be proud. She's an SAT teacher. But, man, that is just so dumb because you look at this team, and they had an awful secondary. They had a terrible quarterback. Even their offensive line was exposed a lot this year. Their front seven, which we hailed as the best part of their team, really didn't live up to expectations either. And a lot of that comes with the offense putting them in bad positions, them running out of gas. I mean, when you played, how frustrated would you be when a quarterback played as poor as Geno? You're sitting there at receiver, you're like, really, bro? Who's your quarterback when you play?
When I was there at Browning and Eagle, Kenny O'Brien and Boomer.
And Boomer.
Yeah.
But that was when Boomer sucked, right? Or was Boomer good that year? I was too young for that.
His first year, we actually had a pretty good team. We were 8-4 going into December. Ended up losing 4 in a row in December.
Was that Boomer's fault?
No, not necessarily. We just didn't play well down the stretch those last four games.
How do you play down the stretch?
I did what I was supposed to do. last game, though, was the thing that knocked us out of the playoffs. We had a chance.
How frustrating is that, though, Rob, when your quarterback's just so inept? I mean, Browning Nagel, you probably experienced it a little bit.
Yeah, he was a rookie. And, you know, we knew going into that season he was going to have his rookie growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
But after the first game of the season, we played the Atlanta Falcons, and we ended up losing the game, but Browning played pretty well. I had a pretty good game myself. And the expectations for him for the rest of the season were sky high, which is not a good thing with a rookie quarterback playing his first game when you have 15 more left and when you finally get on film and teams can see what you do well and what you don't do well.
And that's what happened with the Jets with Geno. Those last two games they won, everyone's like, that was everyone's lasting memory of Geno Smith. They said, oh, he beat the Browns and Dolphins. Right. We're ready to go next year. He's going to progress. And I was one of those suckers who said that. I said the Jets would finish 10-6. You thought they'd be considered maybe a playoff team, right?
This year, I actually said they'd probably be 8-8 looking at the schedule. Like, wow, that schedule.
That middle stretch.
Yeah, the beginning of the season and into the middle of the season would be brutal. And I said if they came out of that the first, I believe, six games with three wins, they would be great in a great position. But, you know, I was a realist at the beginning of the season. I knew they weren't going to make the playoffs, but I did think they would win at least seven games.
Seven, exactly. Yeah. And that's not what Juwan Landry thought. He thought 10 or 11 because he's a genius, because he's a safety who did a great job on that Jets secondary, which was just pathetic. I mean, oh, my goodness. This team is just something else. Before we get Kenny Anderson on, a lot of the reason this team did suck was the GM. And I know Rob over here, again, that voice you heard was Rob Carpenter at RobCarpenter81 on Twitter. He's a good follower, so follow him there. We disagree on this, so I want to get into this debate, and we could tweet this out there, at SportsTalk 1240, at JB Sports Radio here. John Idzik left $20 million under the cap. He addressed the secondary with guys who disappeared, who went on a stranded island. Maybe they were with Tom Cruise and Castaway. I don't know. I don't know where. I don't even know the guy. I don't even remember his name. Who's the cornerback? Do you remember his name?
I don't.
See, exactly.
I don't want to remember.
Point proven. And then the other side, you got Darren Walls. You got this guy, Marcus Williams, who, not the former net. We'll have another former net on the show in a couple minutes. But he didn't address the secondary. He didn't address the receiving core. And you know what? The quarterback situation, you can't blame him, even though you kind of think that he pointed Rex to go with Geno at times where Rex may have wanted to go with Vic, where they should have went with Vic a little earlier. But please, Rob, defend yourself, because I know you get some hate on Twitter for this. Why? Give me your reason why Rex, why John Idzik should be back in 2015.
Only going into his second year as GM. Give him a chance to actually let him do his job. You know, you're not going to find GMs finding, you know, diamonds in the rough every year or every draft pick. That's kind of rare. But, you know, he has his downfall with not addressing the defensive back situation, leaving a lot of money under the cap. But, you know, that's a correction from the previous, you know, regime that was there with Tannenbaum and the cap being blown up. So he actually came in and tried to blow it all up and then restart it all over. And it's just not as fast as everyone wants it to be. That's just my take on it.
You have $20 million in your pocket. It's sitting there. You're like, you know what? I'm not going to go to the strip club. I'm not going to go buy bottles. I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm going to keep it in my pocket in New York City, in the number one market in the country.
And that's the problem.
How could you defend that?
That's the problem.
I understand what you're saying. As give him a couple years, let him do this. But how can you defend in New York leaving that much money off the board for a team that literally, I think the Jets, if they had got a couple cornerbacks, we may be talking about next week mattering for this team. I know Geno is bad, but the defense just had so many holes in that secondary, man. I just don't know where you're coming from.
Just think about this. Where would the team be if they were 7-9? He addressed those situations, and the team was 7-9, and they still had the quarterback situation.
I wouldn't mind because he addressed those situations. He didn't.
The team is still be in the same position.
Oh, yeah. Geno is still pathetic, but
going into next year, the same.
But see,
position.
You look at it that way. Say Geno was good, but the defense was bad. You may have a different opinion. Am I right?
Possibly, but we got to see what Geno could do. For 2 years now, still be in the same position. Just like if he addressed that situation with the defensive backs, would that put more points on the board? Not necessarily. But then again, you know, just let him do what he can do see what he can do for the tenure of what he signed his contract for, and then judge him.
We'll touch on this in a little bit because we do have Kenny Anderson waiting. I say Idzik goes, Rex goes. Rob thinks Idzik stays and Rex goes.
Right.
And we both think that they need a new quarterback. We'll get into that in a little bit. But let's get funky one more time because I want Kenny to hear this little intro that I got cooked up for him because I want him to get pumped up because if he doesn't like Uptown Funk, I'm worried. Former Nets guard Kenny Anderson. Brian, hit me with that good stuff.
I love the way he goes between his legs. Look at that. Little showbiz. Get the mustard out.
Kenny Anderson. Anderson, excellent rebounder for a little guard. Nice look.
Mackey.
What a great look. Anderson to Mackey. And they love it at the Philadelphia. They say he's awesome.
Kenny's putting on a show now.
It's the Kenny Anderson hour. It's KA time, baby.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's just like on the streets of New York City.
Anderson.
The great ones always respond. Anderson says, hey, it's my time. It's Anderson time.
The up top, Kenny Anderson. Anderson for the win. And the buzzer. He beat the Cavaliers in the show 2 years ago. He does it again.
Kenny Anderson, the former Nets guard, Blazers, Celtics, Sonics, Pacers, Hawks, Clippers, of course the Queen's product. And Kenny, first of all, how you doing? Second of all, did that get you pumped up?
Yeah, man. Thank you, man. That's well done. That's a great introduction. Well done, man.
I mean, I bob my head when I hear that song every time. I don't care how many times. It doesn't get old for me. First of all, how you been? How's the family doing?
Everybody's good. I can't complain. Thank you.
Yeah, and of course, I know your daughter was a Hofstra alum. I told these guys before the show, the last time I saw your daughter at a Taco Bell at like 2 in the morning, so I just figured I'd tell you that. But I'm glad the family's doing well. Let's start off, before we get into the basketball, obviously news this week about this movie, The Interview, which is supposed to be a comedy, was not getting released, and now they're going to say it's being released on Crackle, which is a movie site. You went to Korea. You're one of the guys who went there in January, and you met Kim Jong-il. First of all, what were your thoughts on the decision when they said they were not going to release it, Sony was not releasing it?
Well, I made a short, a quote about it. I don't really want to get back into that. You know what I mean? That was one of those trips that I would like to forget, with that whole North Korea thing, you know. But it was just, it was just what I sort of previewed. I was just saying, wow, they need to stay away from that. That was it. You know, I just wasn't I just thought it wasn't really, anything good could come out of that. That was all.
So now, but what are your thoughts now that they may release it online? Do you think it's okay?
I don't know. I don't know. Really don't care. I just think they're trying to. There's a lot of different thoughts about it. Different celebrities and coming out with their opinions and Me personally, after coming back from the trip and knowing what I know now, I just would leave it alone. I wouldn't even touch that.
Kenny, this is Rob Carpenter, man. We can get into a little bit of basketball now. I do got a question for you. And over all the years, we're basically the same age, came out of school around the same time, with me playing football and then going up to Syracuse. I just got a question for you. What made you actually leave the New York area and head down to Georgia Tech to play ball at that time when the Big East was pretty much the ruler of the conferences in college basketball at that time?
Well, me personally, I like to do a lot of things differently. And, at the time, I had a lot of things going on with my family and kind of like bittersweet. I was really a top recruit, but, within the family, struggling and everything, I just wanted to get away from New York and give my mother a break, and that's one of the reasons I chose going to Georgia Tech. I'll be, many miles away from New York, and my mother thought I'd be great with Coach Grimmon, and I fell in love with Atlanta, so it was great for me just to get away from home. That's why I didn't, choose St. John's or even Syracuse. I was close to going there, but just the relationship with Coach Crimmon, I couldn't go wrong. I picked a great school for myself.
So do you think that experience, Kenny, kind of helped you grow as a player? And obviously you balled pretty hard at Georgia Tech. Did that help you become a better player and getting to the NBA and getting to the Nets? Just that life change going down to the South and going to Georgia Tech?
I don't know. I probably would have went to Syracuse. I had a great year also. I just have talent, and you put me around talented players. I would have went to Syracuse. I would have played with Billy Owens and Derek Coleman. So, my chances would have been just as good. But, I just chose to go to Georgia Tech. The style of play fit me. Coach Crimmon gave me the ball and kind of let me run the team like I did at Archbishop Molloy High School. I was able to play my game and not within a system, and I think Syracuse would have been a lot different. They really thrive on 2-3 zone defensively. Offensively, it's pretty much, if you're talented, Coach Boeheim just lets you play. So both programs are great, but I just chose Georgia Tech.
Now, you were like a crazy ball handler. You could cross guys over. You could spin around them. Where did you learn those moves?
I got a lot of that stuff from a lot of my, if you follow me on Twitter, I always give, much respect and love to the point guards before me. Mark Jackson, Rod Strickland, Kenny Smith, Kenny Patterson, Kenny Hutchinson, Boo Harvey. Those are all the guys I looked up to from New York that was great point guards. And I just tried to take a lot of their game and put it in my game. And, you know, those guys, Pearl Washington, let me not forget Pearl, who was, you know, someone that I really respected and looked up to for their game, how they played the game.
Kenny Robb again. When you were with the Nets team playing in Jersey, mm-hmm. and you see the way the stadium would be at that time during your games, with the Nets now in Brooklyn, and with the Barclays Center, the way it fills up now, what do you think about the state of the Nets team now being in Brooklyn?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, my city, and I'm from New York, from Queens, to have two major NBA teams there, it's awesome for the basketball fan. You know, me, you know, I played over in New Jersey. A few years we had, a very good team with myself, Drazen Petrovic and Derek Coleman. We happened to be in the Michael Jordan era, you know. Those great bull teams, but you know, I thought we had some great moments there with New Jersey. But being in Brooklyn, it's awesome because now the fan, the five boroughs, they can get to the Barclays Center, mass transit. You can get a lot of walk-ups coming to games. So I just think it's great for the fans. And I always say, you know, New York, the mecca of basketball, and to have two pro teams in it is just awesome.
Yeah, we could kind of say it's like one and a half at this point because the Knicks look like one of the worst teams in NBA history. We're talking with Kenny Anderson, of course. What's your thoughts right now? We'll get into the Nets in a bit, but what are your thoughts about the Knicks? I mean, they're 5-25, Kenny. They look like the Harlem Globetrotters could beat them, that the Westchester Knicks could beat them. The triangle hasn't worked. Derek Fisher hasn't worked. Melo's been carrying the team, and because of that, he's hurting himself. What's your thoughts on this Knicks season that's been a disaster?
I was, you know, for both teams, I was looking excited. You know, I was excited for both teams, but both teams would do well. Nets is somewhere railing. They're not doing as well as I thought. The Knicks is doing just poorly. I thought they'd be doing better, but you have to look at their roster, number one. Number two, you know, first-year coach in Derek Fisher. Then number three, just, you know, everybody was so much thrilled with Phil Jackson coming over and, you know, turning this organization around. I think a lot of experts and people that's involved in basketball, maybe he should have coached the team his first year and put, you know, Derek Fisher on his, like, associate head coach for a year. Let him get his feet wet, and he coached the team. I just thought it would be better for the Knicks, you know, but it's really a shame that they're playing the way they're playing. Right now they lost to Toronto today. They're 5-25. It's really bad. And they have a superstar in Melo. I think Melo needs help. Myself, I thought for Melo, you know, for winning, you want to win a championship a la Dirk Nowitzki, but I'm not going to tell the one how to, you know, make a decision for money. You know, you can't turn down money, but you want to win. If he wanted to win, he should have probably went over to Chicago. Mm-hmm. Probably took less money to win, but, you know, you ain't going to turn down $50 million. I understand that. So now you have to just sit in the situation you're in and keep playing, and it's just tough for the New York fans and the Knicks fans, but I don't know. It might have to wait another 2-3 years to get this thing straight now.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when you have to watch Carmelo Anthony feed it into the post to Jason Smith, who apparently thinks he's the second coming of Shaq, because the other night he was trying to post and toast, as Clyde would say, and he just he couldn't do anything. So the Knicks roster is really bad. You're right about that. And I find it interesting that you think Phil maybe should have coached, because I don't think Phil wants to coach. I think he's enjoying collecting this 10-12 million to sit at his house in Montana, whatever he's doing over there. But,
you know,
yeah, I mean, he's got to love just cashing in and watching this team struggle. But do you think this Knicks team has a bright future in terms of the free agents that are available next year? Do you see guys, maybe a Marc Gasol who would work well in the triangle, do you see big name free agents still being attracted to New York despite what's going to be a lost season?
Yeah, I do. It is New York, you know, and guys ain't going to turn down a lot of money. But then again, you know, it takes a special individual to play in New York. I give a lot of credit to Amari Stoudemire when he came over. Carmelo, you know, what he stands for. He is a winner. He won on a high school level. He won on a college level. He's won before with Denver. He took them to the Western Conference Finals. But it takes a really mentally tough individual, you know, to play in that market because the media and the fans could be really difficult at times. So you just have to wait and see. Some of those guys, Marc Gasol, you know, I don't know why would he want to leave. Mm-hmm. Memphis would give him all the money and it wing. He's accustomed to being in Memphis, you know, with the high school, and just he grew mentally, physically, everything in Memphis. So, you know, for him to leave Memphis is tough, but you never know. Some of these other guys might make the transition and want to play in New York.
Kenny, another question for you. Looking at the way Melo is playing now, and you know that he's actually hurting, if you were in his shoes right now, looking at the state of the Knicks, would you actually shut yourself down for the rest of the year, have surgery on your knee, and then wait till the summer, try to link up with some of the other free agents to try to get them to come to New York?
Yeah, he's in a tough situation. You know, he took the money. You know, now he wants to be, you know, not so much the savior, but he can't right now. He can't bail. If he doesn't bail, now the fans are going to say, oh, he just took the money. Now he don't want to play because they're losing. So he's in a tough situation, and I feel for him. But he has to go out there and play. You know, if he's not going to do no more harm to himself, he has to go out there and compete. He can't just shut it down because he'll be running away. It's sort of like you running away. You're running now is tough. You're running away from your team, and you know, all in all, it's a tough situation to be in for him. You know, you damn if you do, damn if you don't. So I feel him, and, you know, he's playing, maybe playing injured, but, you know, he's still putting up numbers. He's one of the top scorers probably ever going to play the game. He's a prolific scorer, but he does need help.
He needs a whole lot of help, and I actually said this Knicks team would be 7 or 8, and I'm shocked how bad they've been. I'm shocked with the Nets, too. The Nets, here's the problem, Kenny. Yeah. Again, Kenny Anderson, former all-star point guard we're talking to here at Sports Talk 1240 AM, 1240 WGBB. I'm surprised that – here's the thing with the Nets, Kenny. Let me see if you agree with this. They don't seem to have an identity. That's the thing. You have your scorers and Darren Williams and Joe Johnson. You have Brook Lopez in the post when he's there, and now he's just a ghost and never decides to show up because he's always hurt. But the Nets don't have that identity to them. They don't have that guy in the last 5 minutes who they're giving the ball because they got three guys, and that's been the problem. Obviously, health has been a problem. But what's your explanation for the Nets? Because I really think they have enough talent to be a team that could contend in the top five, but they've underachieved so much. What is the reason in your mind why the Brooklyn Nets may not even make the playoffs this year?
Yeah, I just think there's numerous things. The core players, Brook Lopez has been injured. Deron Williams has been injured but not been himself. He hasn't played up to standard. You know, for many years since he left Utah, he's the face of the franchise when they moved to Brooklyn, when they maxed him out. And he hasn't performed.
So do you trade him?
I think at this point, you know, I think you break up, which they're trying to do. You probably have to break up the three players. But the consistent guy is Joe Johnson. You know, he's always there. But
Mr. Clutch,
he needs help. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and they're older. They got a lot of mouths on the Joe Johnson. They got a lot of mouths. Brook Lopez is young, but he's injured. You know, he's a big guy. Deron Williams was the answer, but he just hasn't delivered. So now you have to look at your organization and break it up somewhat, definitely with probably Deron and Lopez, and see what you can get for those guys, some young pieces, some young talented pieces, and build again somewhat. But when they got all of Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Deron and Lopez, they built quick to try to win quick, and they wasn't successful. So now, with, you know, I'm really excited, and I'm happy they got a veteran coach in Holland.
Great coach.
He's a great coach, a no-nonsense guy. And I don't think we're far away. know, I just think we just need to really get some pieces. If we do trade Deron Williams and Lopez, I think Joe Johnson, I think he stays. I think you keep him and you try to build, get some young pieces around him, you know.
So the Kings offer the Nets now Darren Collison, Jason Thompson, and who's the other guy? Darren Collison, Jason Thompson, and there was one other guy for Deron Williams. You do that deal?
Yeah, at this point I will.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's sad. It's like, you know, Collins, steady point guard. No, but no Deron Williams. But Deron Williams hasn't been himself for so many years, and you don't know if he's ever going to get it back. And then you look at some of the reports and how he feels about playing in Brooklyn. Maybe a new scenery for him will get him to play like he's used to playing. So you really don't know. You got to shake it up. So yeah, I think I would take that trade.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got to go. They got to get rid of that contract, Kenny. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thanks so much for coming on. Have a great holiday. Have a great New Year. And hopefully we'll catch up soon. Thanks, Kenny.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Kenny Anderson at Chibs_1 on Twitter. Terrific stuff. He does think the Nets should break up. Deron Williams should be on the go. So, Mikhail, are you listening? Make the move. Kenny said it. Chibs said it. Let's do it. We got a packed second half coming up. Jake Brown, Rob Carpenter, Tulo. Should the Mets trade Noah Syndergaard for him? Right now, heading into 2015, who is the king of New York? Is it the Isles? Is it the Rangers? Is it St. John's? And also, what the hell were the Yankees thinking trading Martin Prado? We'll get into all that next on Sports Talk 1240 on AM 1240 WGBB.
Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB. Or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
If you're hoping to hear Uptown Funk again, you're not going to. You got it twice. Sports Talk 1240 and 1240 WGBB, Long Island's number one sports talk radio show at this time. And I was listening on my way here. I hate to call out people, but 5:40 a.m. they have this show, 7 to 8 p.m. They did an interview and didn't tell me once who the hell they were talking to the whole time. And then eventually they said third base coach, and I realized it's Tim Tuffle. But if you're an average listener, you want to hear who you're talking to. You got to readdress that. So I'm sorry. I'm no pro here, but I'm sorry to you guys at 5:40 a.m. bunch of scrubs over there, not addressing who the hell they're interviewing. Tell us who you're talking to, because the voice of Tim Tuffle is not recognized by an average Long Islander. I'll guarantee you that. But let's get back on topic here. Jake Brown, Rob Carpenter, at JB Sports Radio, at Rob Carpenter 81, the former Jet receiver, played at Syracuse, one of the best Syracuse receivers of all time. Can we call you that? Can you brush the dirt off the shoulder like Hove right now?
I could take that.
All right. At Sports Talk 1240, Clayton Collier in studio. He writes for Mets Mesmerized and also a intern at CBS with me over there, and he just wrapped that up. And they actually paid you. You can hop on here, Clayton.
All right.
They paid you guys. When I interned, they didn't pay us SH, and you know the rest. They didn't pay us anything.
Well, Jake, you're forgetting. That was my second stint there. I had the unpaid the first time, too. So,
Did they change the laws? Was that like a law and regulation?
I don't know what it is. I think the rule is that you got to be either paid or receiving credit, and I was receiving credit my first time around. So
you didn't receive credit this time?
No.
Well, I would take the pay over receiving the credit. Because for internship, I was paying for my credits. I was paying for the credits to do the internship and paying to commute. And they wouldn't even give me a sandwich.
Well, hold on. Let me tell you this. Were you going over the summer?
Yeah, summer.
Well, that's why. Because you were paying for summer school. That's why. You got to do it right. Come on, Jake.
No. Even during the year, you had to pay for it. It made it count. I don't know. We'll get into Mets Mesmerized. Yeah. Clayton does a great job. At CN Hall, does radio there. He's an up-and-coming star in the making. But let's get back to sports because we only have 20 minutes. Man, this hour breezes by. We argued before Kenny Anderson came on, and great stuff from Kenny saying Darren Williams should be traded. And he follows that Sports Talk 1240. Hear the podcast tomorrow. If you're not listening, it's because TuneIn is stupid and doesn't work when you put the link up. It says, we're sorry it's not available. So, I mean, it's pretty embarrassing on their end, but whatever. You said John Idzik should stay. I say he should go. That's an argument we could do about 8 hours on and just have a marathon and give the money to charity or something. So let's get off of that and go into the New York Giants because, you know what? In my mind, of course, they win today 37-27-6-9. There are positives to take out of this Giants season. We can't really say the same for the Jets, I don't think. But the Giants, they get Odell Beckham Jr. is an absolute beast. Obviously, the Rams were jealous that they can't draft a good receiver, and they started fighting him and brawling him. You hear Jerry Chance coming from all angles. I mean, they're jealous because they picked Tavon Austin, and the Giants are getting the number one receiver in the draft. You got Andre Williams, who's looked better as the weeks have gone by with Rashad Jennings out. Williams, I think, has progressed as the season has gone on behind a bad offensive line. What do you take from this Giants season, and what do you think this team needs to do moving forward, Rob?
Well, when Victor Cruz comes back, that's going to be a really scary tandem with him and Beckham. I know the defenses around the league are looking at that like, wow, they're going to be pretty tough to contain. I think with the Giants right now, though, going forward, their defense is looking a little better. Early in the year, their front seven wasn't playing great. But you see JPP has been stepping up over the last few weeks. The rest of the D-line has been making plays. So I think going into next year, they'll take away from these last few games, the way the defense has stepped up. And, of course, you know, you move forward with Victor Cruz coming back, Williams playing the way he's been playing, and if Jennings is back, that's a pretty formidable backfield that they have together. And if Eli can, you know, limit the turnovers, then the Giants would be a pretty good team.
So Coughlin stays.
Yes.
Perry Fuel, does he stay?
Yes.
Ben 1970s porn stash McAdoo, does he stay?
Yes.
Okay. You think McAdoo stayed? You think they give him a couple years? You're a guy who likes to give guys a couple years. Even though John Idzik's bum ass, you think he should get a couple more years, which, I mean, I could go on that a whole show.
That's another topic.
Yeah. I mean, we have so much to talk about. I don't want to get fully into that. But you think the Giants need to do, in my mind, I think they need to do what the Cowboys do. Start with that offensive line. You look what the Cowboys, and today they just trounced the Colts, which shocked me. One of my locks, I had the Colts, and I looked like a dumbass. But, I mean, this Giants team, if they build with that offensive line, Cruz one side, as you said, Jennings and Williams in the backfield, and then Beckham on the other side. Maybe you go get a tight end. We don't know if Danelle's the answer. He had a lot of fumbling problems. What did you see from Danelle? You think he's a future tight end?
I actually do.
You like him? Got to clear those fumbling problems.
Yeah, but with him being a quarterback, you know, in college, and he's basically learning the position on the fly.
Now, you were a quarterback, too.
Yeah, when I was
and you transitioned to receiver.
I transitioned to receiver, but he played quarterback basically his career in college. And, you know, he just was a big guy who's athletic. Playing the tight end position now, you know, he's basically learning on the fly in the NFL.
It's tough.
It is. It's a tough transition, but he's making it, and he's, you know, at times making it look easy. So, you know, I don't think they need to go out and get a tight end to put alongside of Cruz and Beckham.
The offensive line
is going to be
three
their,
guys probably.
Yeah, the offensive line is going to be their big thing, I think, going into this offseason.
First round pick.
If they do make that. Make those picks, whether it's free agency or in the draft. You know, I think Giants are going to be a pretty good team next year.
JPP, does he come back? You pay him the money, I say no.
I don't think they will.
Good.
And, you know, I think he'll be moving on.
So do you draft the defensive end? Is that what you do? Because I think they need offensive line and they need a pass rush.
They'll probably – knowing the Giants, they'll probably draft one because with free agency with the Giants, you know, they're not – big spenders in free agency. So,
and we got to remember that the secondary had a lot of injuries. So I think their secondary is not bad. You got Dominic Rogers-Kamari, DRC. You have you had Thurman get hurt, who was a big acquisition from Seattle.
Right.
He gets hurt. You had Bowman get hurt.
Prince.
Anshar Roll. Does he come back? He's a free agent. He's going to demand big bucks. He likes to talk and run his mouth, but he hasn't had the best season. But he is a good player.
He's a seasoned vet in that defensive backfield. And – you know, he hasn't had the season this year that he's had in the past. And I really don't think he'll be out there demanding, you know, super top five safety money. And you know, he stated on the record that he actually wants to come back. So
you think he'll be back?
I do think he'll be back.
All right. So this team needs a pass rush, an offensive line, and they're a playoff team. Is that what you're telling me?
I believe so, yeah.
All right, yeah. You know what? I saw some positive signs. And remember, they did lose some games close. They had a lot of close losses. That Cowboys game, both Cowboys games were both winnable. And if they're in the NFC South right now, we're talking about the playoffs next week. I mean, the Saints and Falcons are playing – or excuse me, the Falcons and the Panthers are playing for a playoff spot and a seventh win, yet they're going to be a top 12 pick.
Crazy. Seven wins.
It's pathetic.
Makes playoffs.
And it's crazy because the Seahawks did that a couple of years back
right.
And actually won that playoff game against RG3 and the Redskins.
At home. Well, Seahawks did that against New Orleans. That's when Beast Mode started.
Was it against New Orleans?
Yeah, they had that home playoff game against New Orleans. And Beast Mode had that run, and that's what started the whole fascination with that. But, yeah, seven-win teams – you know, making the playoffs is a little crazy with that in the NFL like that, but you know it's going to happen again.
All right, so before we move on, here's what we address: Jake Brown at JB Sports Radio, Rob Carpenter at Rob Carpenter 81 Sports Talk 1240 WGBB. Now the Jets, they need a new head coach. Who is it? We're just going to do quick hits. Who's the next Jets head coach?
I actually about a month ago said they should go after Harbaugh.
I agree. So we both are in lockstep on that. We're not in lockstep on the GM. I don't know who they should go back. Maybe bring back Mike Tannenbaum. Who knows? But you think Idzik stays. I think he goes. Quarterback. Who is the Jets' opening day quarterback? Gun to your head right now. Who's the quarterback?
Unfortunately, it's probably going to be Geno.
What?
Yeah, because I don't think there's anyone else out there that they can actually go get.
Can we tweet that out there, Clayton?
I got it.
Rob's saying Geno Smith is going to be the starting quarterback.
Don't forget the part I said, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Okay. Yeah. I think he's going. You're trying to get some followers out of this. Nah, I think that you're saying stuff like that.
My Twitter page is going to blow up right now because it'll be killing me.
Yeah, let's tweet that. I'm going to retweet it. Let's all retweet it because I want to hear some feedback on that. Here's the thing: if Geno Smith is the starter next season, I will rescind my Jets fanhood, whatever you want to call it, because this guy is awful. One, he got benched. Two, he said he was at the movies. I mean, he was making a movie with a woman. I think that's what he was doing because he was not in a movie. That's not why he missed the meeting. But whatever he was doing, it doesn't matter now. He hasn't shown the leadership qualities of an NFL quarterback, especially in the spotlight in New York. You know what? Here's what I do. I draft a quarterback. If Mariota's available, you take him. We both kind of are on lockstep that he won't be available. But you actually think the Bucks don't need a quarterback, which would take them off the board and mean the Titans would be the only team because Carr is staying. The Raiders love Carr.
Right.
But there's reports saying now that the Titans are interested in Jay Cutler,
right,
which makes it seem like Mariota could be a Jet. That is a possibility.
Well,
am I right?
With me, him, Mariota, or Winston, if one of those guys are there, you know, you take them. But and in my opinion, Winston is the better prospect.
And you take him despite all the off-the-field problems.
Yes, in a heartbeat. 1,000%. You
Let's
take Winston.
Shoot that out there, too.
If Winston is there, you take him.
See, I just see him draft night. He's getting his signing bonus. As soon as he gets that check, he cashes it, and he hits the club and does something dumb that he did in college.
Yeah, but just think he can buy everything that he wants. Then he doesn't have to take those grab legs.
That's true. So, that's accurate. Wow, that is a great point.
So, you know, there's no trouble there. It's stuff that he's gotten in trouble for in college, which.
But can he grow up, Rob? I don't know.
Well,
I don't see it.
There's
He's
a lot
so
of,
immature.
There's a lot of 20-year-olds out here that, you know, you could ask the same question about. You know, you could ask me that question when I was 20 years old.
You could ask me, too. I mean, yeah.
So, and, you know, once you get to that point, you know, you make that decision whether you're going to change your ways and grow up or not. But, you know, as far as talent goes on the field, if Winston is there, you definitely take him.
So Mariota's you take first, though, if he's available. If he's not, you take Winston.
Actually, no. For me, it's flipped around. It's Winston first and then Mariota.
Tweet that out there. Now, here's the thing.
And this is the reason why. Look at the games that they have played and tell me how many losses Winston has.
Well, here's what you're going to say. You're going to say that, and you're also going to say the Oregon offense that Mariota worked in favored him, and he always had open receivers, and he didn't have as much competition that they played as Winston.
Not really.
No?
Okay. No. My thing is,
Winston made a lot of mistakes, though.
He did. And as a quarterback should, the mistakes that he makes, he forgets. You forget it, and then you go on to the next play. But what do you see at the end of every Florida State game?
You see a W in the column.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Do you see that
Accurate.
With Oregon? No.
Well, once you didn't see it, but.
And that's a big, big one. Even though they got revenge this year for that early loss this season against Arizona. And they came back, and Mariota came back and pretty much trounced them in that next game. But Winston has been on the biggest spotlights in college football.
He's been in the headlines daily.
And again, that's a big thing as well. Mm-hmm. You know, when your name is being punched out there for negative stuff over and over and over and over again, whether it's your fault or not, which a lot of it is due to himself, but still, you know, you have to deal with that off the field and still go out on the field and perform. Not everybody can do that in the biggest spotlight, and he's done it.
And the tweet is out there, Rob Carpenter would take Winston over Mariota.
I've said it on my Twitter page plenty of times.
So Idzik stays in Rob. Here's Rob Carpenter, the former Jet receiver's perfect offseason. Idzik stays. Harbaugh's the coach. Jameis Winston is the opening day starter. They keep Percy Harvin. They get a secondary with that $20 million. You obviously keep Decker. Tight end, my goodness. I praise Jason Morrow. This guy has stone hands worse than Stephen Hill. And I never thought I'd say that in my entire life, but this guy dropped. You could throw him a loaf of Wonder Bread and he'd drop it. You could throw him a beach ball, he would drop it. You could throw him a rock, he would drop it. He would drop anything. Butterfingers, you know he'll drop that. He sucked.
He didn't play well.
And Jeff Cumberland Farms ain't too good either. And I don't know why they gave him a contract. Here's the thing. I knew Jeff Cumberland wasn't good. I went to the thing last year called Francesicon. It's Mike Francesa. It's a thing where all Francesa crazies go drink and have a good time. Jeff Cumberland showed up there. What is he doing with his life when you're showing up to Francesicon with a bunch of drunk people who listen to sports radio?
Hey,
come on, man.
You got to live.
They had to pay him at least a grand to do that, I would hope.
Something.
Man, Jeff Cumberland at Francesca, that was surprising. But, again, that's off topic. That's our ideal offseason, the Giants, defensive line, defensive pressure, and offensive line. Let's move on since we only got a little bit of time left. Let's do a little roundtable first on the New York Yankees here. Clayton Collier, Rob Carpenter, and I am Jake Brown Bryan behind the glass. The New York Yankees trade Martin Prado. They trade David Phelps. They get in return Nathan Eovaldi and Garrett Jones and a minor league pitcher. First of all, Rob, your thoughts on the trade?
I didn't think it needed to be done. It's kind of crazy. We were talking before before the show when I said, you know, the Yankees pitching staff, if healthy, to me, one of, you know, the best in the league. And that's without CeCe. You know, they just got to stay healthy.
Wait.
Yes, one of the best in the league.
Get back on the Twitter machine. You just said the Yankees have one of the best rotations in baseball. Can you name the five starters?
Yes.
Who are they?
When you go in.
There's
with,
no way, Rob.
Yes. When you go in, and I'm not putting CeCe in at the top of the rotation. You know, fat CeCe was great. You know, skinny
fat
CeCe.
Fat Rex was great, too.
True.
Everyone's better fat. Jonah Hill, great fat.
Great. You know, skinny CC.
People are just better. I don't know.
Skinny CC gives you five innings and then, you know, goes to waste. So, but you got to put them at the back of the rotation. But with, you know, if those guys can stay healthy, you know, especially Nova coming back, if he's healthy, you know, I saw a report where, the Yankees might actually go after
Shields.
No.
They won't pay Shields.
No, they won't pay him. Holy cow, slips on right now. Former Yankee pitcher. They have a Japanese guy.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Former Yankees pitcher.
Former, that they bring him back.
Yeah. They thought about bringing him back. He was designing.
Andy Pettit?
No.
Kuroda?
Yes.
Oh. Yes. He's back. Oh, he's a free agent.
He's a free agent, but they were thinking about bringing him back.
You like him?
No. He's getting old.
Yeah, but if he's out of the rotation, you literally just have Tanaka, CeCe, and... Now you got the guy who gave it the most hits in the NL, Nathan Eovaldi. Go celebrate, Yankee fans.
That's actually why I think they you know, blew the trade. You know, you trade for a pitcher from the National League who, you know, is
and
a prospect.
The American League.
As a prospect.
Like, what?
And he's not a prospect in your own organization. That's just, that doesn't sit well with me. You know, you bring up your own prospects that you think have potential.
We got a couple minutes left. Who plays second base? It looks like it's Ref Snyder. Do you go after someone? What do you do?
Me personally, I would think they would.
Chase Utley, maybe?
And that was a thought. Saw Cashman say that if training, you know, if spring training started right now, they would just go with their prospects. They wouldn't go after anybody. But, you know, you never know before spring training starts.
Clayton, who do you start at second base if you're the Yankees now that you got rid of Prado?
I would have started Prado. I don't understand what the heck was the deal with that trade. I mean, you're creating a hole for yourself. The only reason that I saw them doing that was to fill in with Carlos Beltran, who had 36 games last year in right field. He was a designated hitter, apparently.
And a lefty, too, in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. I would stick A-Rod there. I mean, if he wants to play the field, throw him out there.
Yeah, I mean, they signed Headley, too. It just didn't make sense for them to get another. And Garrett Jones isn't really a position. He's a first baseman and outfielder, not really a defensive specialist by any means. But, man, Rob, you're throwing these one-liners saying the Yankees have one of the best rotations in Major League Baseball.
Yes, look at their rotation from top to bottom.
I've looked.
The injuries, and take out the injuries. Just if they stay healthy.
They don't have five starters now, though.
Four is enough.
You need a fifth, especially with Tanaka coming off surgery potentially.
But that's the thing. It's the injuries. If you just look at if those guys were healthy, you know, if they could give you 200-plus innings, you know, they're up there. Their rotation can stick up with anybody.
All right. 2 minutes left. Too low to the Mets. Not going to happen. Where do the Mets, Clay? I'll start with you since you are the Mets mesmerized guy. We both cover some Mets games at Citi Field. Looking forward to next year with Harvey Day. We're going to have Harvey Day back in action. Syndergaard for Tula. I think we're in lockstep. You do that deal. It's not going to happen, but you would do that.
I do that trade in a heartbeat because Troy Tulowitzki could be the Mets' key to the city, essentially. They could take New York with that trade right there, getting Tulo in there, right, Tulo, Granderson, Kadire in the middle of your lineup, Duda. That's a great lineup there. Noah Syndergaard, keeping him and adding him next year does not make them a playoff team. Adding Tulowitzki makes you a playoff team.
Oh, that is a franchise-changing move, and it's also a move that sells tickets right now. I mean, they'd be selling tickets flying off the shelves now. Where do you go at shortstop? You know, damn pockets and pay somebody. It's $5 freaking million. Who do you start at shortstop and don't tell me? Pay somebody. It's $5 freaking million. Who do you start at shortstop and don't tell me?
Clayton. You got to go. If there's nobody else, you got to go with Wilmer Flores. I certainly don't want Ruben Tejada. I don't want to see Ruben Tejada's name anywhere.
So you're going to play Flores 7 days a week?
If that's the only option that you're being given. I mean, what else? Who else do you do? Do you bring in internally?
I'd sign Everett Cabrera, maybe.
No, I agree with that. I think that'd be a much better.
Guy steals bases.
I think that'd be a much better platoon. I mean, the guy juices. I mean, he was in the middle of that biogenesis.
And he's been in trouble off the field too with stuff. I think he got arrested actually. Who do you put as shortstop, Rob?
Well, another one with the hypothetical thing, Flores is just going to have to be there. You know, you just got to deal with it. And
come on.
I mean, who else are you going to put there?
Get somebody.
Who?
That's sign the thing. Somebody. See, the Mets aren't trading for Tulo because of money. That's it. They don't want to pay $120 million, and the Rockies don't want to eat any of that contract. Bottom line. And they don't want Kang because they don't know if he'll work at shortstop. They don't know if he'll transition well. Every guy who's out there, the Mets continue to make excuses. He can't play shortstop. He's not a good hitter. Yet the guy they're going to put out there 7 days a week, they were unsure if he could play shortstop. He put up a .280 on base percentage, and I have dumb homer Mets fans tweeting me saying, oh, Kang, we don't know if he could transition. Risk the $5 million for the potential power you're going to get because, you know what, Flores can't field either. So if your argument is defense, you're ignorant because Flores isn't a gold glover by any means. So they should be focusing on adding a bat. Am I right?
He had 40 bombs over in Japan. I mean, any shortstop that'll do that.
Cut that in half. People are telling me we don't know if it's going to transition. Cut that in half, and we're still talking about 10 times the production of Wilmer Flores.
I agree. He's 20 home runs maximum.
Because the posting fee is too much. Reach in your pockets. We're in New York. It's embarrassing that you can't pay $5 million a year to get a shortstop. I mean, can we all be in lockstep that the Mets, if they get a quality shortstop, this is a playoff team in 2015? If healthy.
I could agree with that.
I agree with that, too. And then, you know, if you brought in Kang, that would be a blockbuster, unlike the overuse of that word this offseason.
Yeah, Clayton told me he hates the word blockbuster.
I can't stand it. You know, this offseason's been crazy with that. I mean, when you saw D. Gordon and Dan Heron being traded to Miami and the term blockbuster, that's not a blockbuster.
No.
That's a bootleg copy of Weekend and Birdies 2.
Wow, what a reference. Yeah. Clayton's fired up and perfect timing as the show comes to an end. Thanks to Clayton Collier at Clayton_Collier on Twitter. Thanks to Luke from my house right now. And I am Luke Albert. Thanks to my co-host today, Rob Carpenter at RobCarpenter81. I can't speak anymore. And follow me at JB Sports Radio. Great show. You can hear the podcast tomorrow. Thanks to Kenny Anderson Chips for coming on.